Morning and greet you in Jesus' name. Glad to be with you. And yeah, I have in fact been here before. And it is interesting to get back. Talked about it on the ride up here this morning. Beautiful ride up along the lake. I always enjoyed that ride, especially summertime, wintertime not so much. But yeah, isn't it amazing the way God moves in our lives and takes us different places and through different experiences. And I had to think of that in relation to the Sunday school this morning. I believe the lesson aim was something in relation to the requirements of enjoying the blessings that the Messiah has for us. One of the blessings, or one of the requirements of enjoying the blessings that God has for us, is to be where He wants us to be today, and that varies, and He takes us on different journeys and different places, and the challenge that came to me was, you know, am I where God wants me to be today, or am I trying to be somewhere else? Or am I wishing to be somewhere else, and instead of being satisfied and enjoying the blessings that God has for me today? I think I had to think of it in relation to that one question we looked at. How do we discern whether somebody's righteous or otherwise? I'm not exactly sure how the question is worded. And you know, I'm not so sure that's not necessarily our calling. There's a lot of, I look at it this way. God knows the hearts. And the more important question is, am I living in obedience to God's word today? And am I encouraging others to live the righteous life that God wants them to live? Or is it otherwise? Am I a discouragement, or am I an influence in a negative way? And so, that's the challenge that came to me from the Sunday school. I enjoyed looking at Malachi, and there's a lot of things that I don't understand about it. But I believe there's these little verses here and there in those Old Testament prophets that, you know, we can latch on to those little phrases here and there, and you know what? That's God's word. It's for me today. So this morning I've titled the message, "Receiving Counsel." So what? And what does the Bible say about me receiving counsel from you? And what is my When should I reach out to someone else for counsel? And for that matter, who should I go to? And I want to look at some practical aspects of this, when is it time to ask for counsel? And where is the place to go for that counsel? And I'm going to start out by reading a number of verses. We're going to go to the book of Proverbs, the wisest man that ever lived, the Bible says, and see what he has to say about this subject. I'm going to read the whole way to about three verses. And there's, I don't know if I counted it up right, there's maybe 12 or 13 times when counsel is mentioned in the book of Proverbs. But I'm going to read three verses that I believe help us to understand what God's will is for us as we reach out for counsel and how important that is. First of all, Proverbs chapter 12, and I'd like to read verse 15. "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." And it's pretty clear here what Solomon's trying to say. It's a fool It's the fool that believes that he doesn't need input from anyone else. He feels like he doesn't need counsel, and he's labeled in this verse as a fool. It also says that a wise person listens to counsel, hearkens to counsel. And it doesn't say that in this verse that a wise man always goes with every piece of counsel that he receives and always follows every piece of counsel that he receives. But it does say that he listens and he hears it and he contemplates it and he considers it. And I believe that's an important aspect of receiving counsel. A wise person, you know, when you reach out for counsel or advice, sometimes it seems like the advice may be kind of opposite. And maybe given the situation, maybe there's a couple different ways it could work. But the important thing is that we hear that counsel and that we at least help it to make a difference in the decisions that we finally land up making. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 22. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Good counsel helps us to achieve goals, realize goals and ideals. You know, there's a lot of things about life, a lot of things in life that we know where we want to end up. We know where we want to be. And maybe it's, well, take for instance, maybe it's in our homes. We know how we'd like our children to turn out. And we know what we'd like our children to grow up to be. And we want them to them to grow up to embrace the Word of God and live in obedience to that. And in relation to child training, we know where we want to land up. There's those financial and business decisions, occupational decisions, where we know where we want to be, and maybe it's something as simple as home improvements. Maybe some project that you want to do in your home, and you know when this all lines up, you know what you kind of want it to look like. Good counsel and going to others and you tell them what your goals are, and many times they'll be able to have some input into this thing that'll help you to realize and achieve the goals that you have. Now, we need to remember that that doesn't mean that everything will always work out perfectly. But as we reach out for counsel, I believe it helps us to make informed and thought through decisions. It's not just shooting from the hip, but it's making thought some decisions that we when we receive counsel from others, it sort of forces us to think this thing through. Now, this counsel that I received, I really wasn't thinking about, but good thought. And we think it through. How could this work? Let's turn back to Proverbs 11 and verse 14. The last verse we read talked about the multitude of counselors. The multitude of counselors. This one does too. Verse 14 of Proverbs 11, where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Getting counsel from several sources helps us to bring different aspects to the table and different things that we should consider in making a decision. I believe there's safety in considering things from a number of different vantage points. And the more far-reaching the decision, the more that's true. I believe that we think this thing through from different vantage points, and And, you know, sometimes somebody brings something to our attention that we never would have thought of on our own. There's safety in that. And, sometimes there's differences in the counsel and advice we receive. And then there's those times when we have something that, we really feel like we need advice on. And I love it when I go to six different people and they all say the same thing. That's nice when it's that way. And it sort of helps us to reinforce in our minds that this is in fact, it gives us a sense of direction. This morning I'd like to look at this practical issue that we face from time to time, getting counsel from others, and how do we draw that advice out from others. I believe it's important that we look at it from this angle. Sometimes we look at this thing of giving counsel, and we look at, maybe more often, we talk about it from that angle where we careful about the counsel that we give and the influence that we leave. And I believe that's important. But I believe just as important is this thing of the attitude that I have in receiving counsel and being prepared to receive the advice that others can give me and the counsel that others can give me. I'd like to look at this in a number of practical ways now. First of all, I'd like to look at it, when do I need counsel? And then I'd like to think for a little bit about going to the right place for counsel. And then once you have the counsel, evaluating the things that you heard and putting it together. And finally then, I'd like to think a little bit about implementing or putting to practical use the counsel that I receive. So first of all, when do you need counsel? And that varies, probably going to vary some on the kind of personality you have and how open, how much of a social being you are. And if I'd have a board up here and I'd have a scale of 1 to 10, and 1 would be a person who is very reluctant to ask advice and just basically never asks advice. And 10 being the kind of person that just needs input on every little decision. They need input on everything. So where would you fall in that, on that scale? Where would you put yourself on that scale? And I'd like to suggest that neither 1 nor 10 is really all that healthy. But, we talk about middle of the road. I think this is a time when the middle is a pretty good place to be and where we should aim to be. Where we're humble enough to ask for advice and counsel. But on the other hand, that we don't need to go, we're not indecisive. And we're willing to make some decisions on our own and willing to stand up and be man enough to make some calls on our own. The one extreme that possibly some of us struggle with is, we try to be self-sufficient, and we really don't want to, maybe our problem is that this whole decision, when this whole thing's said and done, we want the credit for it because we thought this thing through ourselves. So that's the one extreme. And I believe there is value in thinking things through for ourselves and arriving at an educated and thought through conclusion. I think that should that we should be the kind of, we should aim to be the kind of person that can think things through in a right way, and where we give thought to the decisions that we make. And then we have the other extreme of being so unsure of ourselves that We reach out to others for input, you know, without even thinking it through. And, you know, probably all of us have met someone like that where, they just want you to tell them everything. And they reach out to you for counsel, and maybe we've been that way ourselves sometimes. We just don't want to make the decision. So we keep going around and asking for counsel and refusing to make the decision for ourselves. And I believe, like I said, I believe somewhere in the middle, there's a happy medium to this, and it's where we should strive to be. You know, there isn't a one of us that's got all the answers. There's not. We might think we do, and we might have answers, but a lot of times they're not right ones. They're not safe ones all the time, but there isn't one of us that has all the answers. Asking advice and asking for counsel from others, it calls for humility. And we need to be humble enough to do that. And I think it is right to be responsible and resourceful. But those characteristics can pretty quickly turn into pride and arrogance. And let's remember that. You know, I was thinking about that a little bit. So how can I know if my resourcefulness is borderline pride? How can I know that? One of the things that I believe it came up in Sunday school. I can't quite put that quote together, but is it insanity? Is when you keep on doing the same thing again and again, even if it is, you know, the conclusion's the same, it's the wrong one. When it's obvious, you know, my resourcefulness is maybe not really all that resourceful, and maybe it's instead pride. When my solutions aren't working, and it's obvious, and yet I keep insisting on this is the way. This is gonna work. One of these times this is gonna work. And it's probably pride on our part. Also, another way to know if my resourcefulness or my answers are borderline pride is when I look with disdain at the decision or position that someone else takes. You know, we have, some of us are more this way than others. We have our ideas about stuff and how it ought to work, and really the path to get to the from A to B, and this is how it's going to have to be, and we look with disdain on anyone else's ideas or decisions or positions that they take. That's pride when we take that attitude. Rather, we need to remember that we don't have all the answers, and a lot of times the path and the ideas that others have, the advice that others have, maybe they're not even vocal with it. We could use a good shot of it, though. We could use that and learn from that. It's true that we can't just take our problems and dump them on someone else. We're called to be responsible and make decisions ourselves, but we can receive counsel and input from each other in a way that makes the whole more effective than each of us individually. Many times it's when we take this brother's counsel and this person's counsel and maybe our own intuition, and we put it all together, and it's much more effective, and it's safer. Let's remember that. The experience of others can save us from learning everything by experience. Life is too short for that. We've got too many things to do. There's too much to be lost to learn everything by experience. So where do you go for counsel? Where is the right place to go for counsel? Psalm 1 and verse 1 tells us where not to go. And I think this is David writing this psalm. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. We don't go to someone whose values we don't share and that values that aren't right. We don't go there for counsel because we see a pattern in that person's life, and it's part of the reason why we are to observe the fruits of those around us. You know, we can we can take that too far, and we can be judgmental, but it's right that we observe the lives of others around us. It helps us to know where to go for safe counsel. In 1 Samuel 28, we have the story of King Saul. That was the time where he was in a desperate situation. And he was, I believe that was the account where the Philistines were surrounding them and they were up against a pretty important battle. And God wasn't talking to him anymore. He had made enough of choices. He had rejected God time and time again. And God wasn't speaking to him. Samuel was gone. Samuel had died. And Saul found himself in a very desperate situation. Instead of repenting and coming to God in repentance, he went to a witch for counsel. And it was Saul's undoing in his end. And that was right at the end of Saul's life. And today, there are lots of options of places that we can go for counsel. And I want every one of you to think about the fact that a lot of these options couldn't care less about your soul. That's just how it is. And that's what makes this kind, that's a subject like this so serious, is that the professed, even professed Christians, and it's sad, but there's a lot of counselors out there that are doing this because there's something in it for them. And they're very misleading and deceptive and destructive to others spiritually. And so it's important that we think about the implications of that and where this is going to end up. So where do we go for counsel? Number one, I believe we go to those who are godly and who are living in obedience to the Word of God. And quite simply, I believe one of the first places that you ought to go for counsel is the brother sitting beside you in church, really. Your brothers and sisters in Christ, that's where we ought to start. And that's where there's places to reach beyond that. But I think far too often we overlook that. And we overlook the help and the resources that we have right in our own brotherhoods, where we could, we have a tremendous amount of experience and knowledge right in our own brotherhood, and we can go to them, and it's a safe place to go. There's resources in the body of Christ, yet so often we feel like we need to go to someone that maybe has some letters behind their name or a certain amount of letters or credentials behind them. Just remember that not all those credentials and not all those letters are safe. And many times they can be to our spiritual undoing. More practically, we go to those with experience and that have competence in the area of counsel that we're reaching out for, that we're looking for. If you have some dental work to be done, and you have some tooth issues, that you don't call an electrician. At least I don't. There's other places that I'm going to reach out to for counsel, and it's not going to be my electrician or my plumber for that matter. or my veterinarian for that matter, but I'm going to go to my dentist, and he's going to give me some counsel on what I ought to do. So, and in a very practical way, that's, I believe that, so we reach out to those that we know have had experience, and I think of that in relation to child training or questions that maybe teachers have. If you're facing something in your classroom, you know, many times you can go to a, you know, an experienced teacher, someone you can call that, and or reach out to that no doubt has gone through this more than once. And for parents, maybe it's reaching out to your own parents or grandparents in within the brotherhood, and they can give you some real practical help because they've been through this. They've walked this road before. They've faced this before. Rehoboam found out the hard way that going with the counsel of the inexperienced creates more problems than it solves. He found that out. You know, when he went for counsel, and the thing about Rehoboam, I think when he went for counsel, I believe he in his own mind he knew what he wanted, and he really wasn't being very open about it. But he heard the counsel of the old men. And I believe it would have made all the difference in his kingdom. And he didn't like it, so he went to the council for counsel from the young men, and he went with that, and we know what happened. Right like that, the kingdom divided, and there was a kind of a revolt, and created more problems for Rehoboam than it solved, for sure. When we ask counsel from others, it's important that we go and we listen. You know, it's easy for us to look around, and we look around and, you know, I think he will give the kind of counsel that I want to hear, or that he'll encourage me. And we go to that brother or sister, and they start talking different than what we expected. The thing for us to do is listen. This is let's go with an open mind and listen. And you know, it's easy for us to, rather than give counsel, we turn around and rather than accepting counsel, we start trying to give them counsel, and it's, you got it all wrong, brother. Here's how I think, and we become argumentative, and it hurts our pride a little when where we thought, or what we think and what he thinks are two different things. You really want to benefit from counsel. You ask counsel, you ask advice, just shut your mouth and listen. And that's a challenge for us. Many times we kind of have some conclusions, and we want to reinforce it. And then when it doesn't get reinforced, it doesn't always sit real well. Go with an open mind. I think that's important. Now, evaluating the counsel that we receive. Even though I may have tried to be very careful and maybe screened where I go for counsel, I feel like I've gone to wise counselors, just remember that you and I are still responsible to analyze the counsel and to make our own decision. When the dust all settles and this is all said and done, you are responsible for your decisions. We can't go back and say, "Yeah, well, so-and-so said, you know, that he gave me counsel." And just remember that this thing of asking counsel, we can't turn around and use that counsel. And there are times when we've been given bad information and wrong information. And I believe it's very important that the one giving the counsel understands their responsibility. But just remember, we cannot duck our own responsibility. It is our responsibility as we make decisions. And especially fathers in your homes, the decisions that you make and allow in your home, you are responsible for. And let's remember that. I think that's as each father, as each if we each take our responsibility in that, it makes for much stronger homes. One of the things that we need to think about as we evaluate the counsel that we received, one of the questions we need to always ask is this counsel that I just received, is it consistent with the teaching and direction of God's Word? Is that, the things that I'm hearing, does it line up with the Word of God? And I think of this in relation to some of the business advice that we hear from time to time. There's some things that can get us ahead financially and have made some people very rich. But when you look at it from the standpoint of what the Bible says about it, we reject it because it is not according to the principles and values that are laid out in the Word of God. But I believe as we take the things that we hear and when we take the principles of God's Word and we line them up and they agree, why then we know that it's no doubt a safe counsel to follow, it's safe advice to follow. What's more than that, the Bible has promised, God has promised that every believer, every child of God, he will send his Holy Spirit to live in our hearts. And that the Holy Spirit is there to give us a sense of direction and leading in our lives. And just claim that and be open to the leading and direction of the Holy Spirit in your life. Remember, if you know in your heart, and this is in relation to receiving counsel and evaluating the counsel that we receive, remember that if you know in your heart what God wants you to do, and He's been pretty clear, maybe you prayed about it and you kind of have this, you know what you should do. And maybe you've reached out for counsel, and maybe not everybody's counsel agrees that with that. But you really know what you should do in a given situation. And you continue to resist it. And instead you go around asking for counsel from others. And looking for the counsel that maybe is just a little more palatable to you. Just remember, that is really dangerous. If we know in our hearts what's right and what God wants us to do, and we keep looking around for counsel that agrees with what we really feel like doing, that's really dangerous ground to be on. And remember that if it's clear and God has revealed His direction to you, His will for you through the work of His Holy Spirit in your heart, and you reject that and you continually go against that, you're in dangerous ground. You know, it's sort of like we talked about Rehoboam. It's sort of like it was for him. You know, Rehoboam really wasn't looking for advice. He really wasn't looking for counsel. What he was looking for was somebody that agreed with him. And so he went around and we can do the same thing. We can act like we're asking counsel, but really what we want is somebody to agree with us. And it sort of gives us that feeling like, okay, somebody else said what we thought. We must be onto something. It doesn't work that way. If it's clear, if God has revealed His will to you, do it. Make up your mind and make the decision to follow God's way. I'm responsible myself to live in obedience to God's will and direction in my life. And I can't hand that responsibility off to others and act like I'm interested in doing God's will by going around and asking a lot of advice. Just, we need to live in obedience to God's will. I believe good counselors will help us to understand and how to, and in a very practical way, follow God's will. Now, the last point, implementing the counsel that I receive. And I'd like to just turn to Exodus 18 and read the little story about Moses and his father-in-law, Jethro. And I'm just going to read kind of the summary of all this. Verse Exodus 18 and verses 23 to 26. If thou shalt, this is Jethro speaking here. If thou shalt do this thing, and you know the story. Jethro was watching Moses and how all these people come, and Moses was burning out. He was tired till the end of the day, and he wasn't getting around to meeting all the needs of these people. And Jethro told Moses, "Hey, you know, Moses, the thing you're doing isn't good." And he laid out how he believed would fix to this, and you know the story. He said, "Why don't you set, you know, give people different levels of authority, and the big, really important questions, they can always come back to you." Verse 23, "If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people shall also go to their place in peace." Then notice Moses' response. "So Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law, and did all that he said. Moses chose able men out of all Israel, and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of 50, and rulers of tens. And they judged the people at all seasons, and the hard causes they brought unto Moses, but every small matter they judged themselves. And Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went into his own land." Jethro's advice to Moses, and the point I'd like to make here, Jethro's advice to Moses would have done Moses no good if he wouldn't have acted on it. He needed to do something about it. He needed to act on it and go with the advice that Moses, I mean, there was, this took some time to implement this whole thing, and there was some structure that went into this, but Moses followed through, and it proved to be a blessing to Moses and the children of Israel, and I'm sure Moses' family as well. The other thing that I was impressed with, in verse 24, it says that Moses did all that he said. Sometimes it's sort of a temptation to us, and it's not always wrong, but we pick and choose the counsel that we put to practice by what our preferences are. I know this is, we have to make decisions that we know or we believe are right for our situation. But sometimes we need to just go with it and go with counsel. There's things about this whole thing that I don't understand, but some of the advice and the counsel that we receive kind of comes as a package. And we need to just go with it. And we need to, like Moses did, he did all that he had said. I think it's important that if we go to the bother of reaching out for advice and counsel from others, that when we receive it, that counsel that we receive, we give it fair consideration. You know, sometimes our first thought is, "Done. I'm sorry, buddy, but you know what you just told me is way off." Really, if we just lay some of our own preferences aside, you know, it's so easy for us to get ourselves in a box, and this is it's just anything that's in this box. That's the only thing. And here comes somebody, and they give us some advice that is just really different than we thought. if we're going to go to the bother of benefiting from counsel, we're going to have to give that a fair shake. And we're going to need to consider that. And how could this, and sometimes it is way off in left field. But sometimes after we consider those things and after we, you know what? There's a lot of things that he just told me that I could benefit from. Maybe we refused a certain course of action for a long time, and someone counsels us to follow that. I think, you know, we do ourselves a favor if we at least give it some consideration and not be too proud or stubborn, or, you know, maybe we've said a lot about that course of action and the counsel, maybe we've been pretty vocal and, you know, I'd never do that. Let's be humble enough and man enough to back off. And you know what? I said some things and I wasn't really considering this thing from the right angle. And it takes humility. In relation to what we do with the counsel that we hear, we aren't obligated to act on all the counsel that we receive. In fact, we can't, because sometimes it's totally opposite. But many times, getting advice from others, at least as we receive advice, at least it gets us thinking about things from different angles, and it helps us to make some informed decisions. And maybe we look at things a little differently, and maybe we see, and maybe what we thought we were going to do and what we heard, maybe they are opposites. But maybe the course of action that we finally take, maybe it's kind of a hybrid, and maybe it's some from both sides of it. In conclusion, we can all benefit from good, sound advice and counsel from others. Just remember that. We all need that, and we can benefit from that. God has given us that resource, and especially I think about it in our brotherhoods. You know, we have a resource that there's many times your neighbor up the road doesn't have. We have the resource. We can bounce things off of each other. We believe a lot the same. We our values are based on the Word of God, and that's a resource that we can benefit from. None of us are complete in ourselves. We need others to balance us out, and just like the verses in Proverbs there. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. God give each of us wisdom and the grace to know when to seek counsel, where to go for it, and then how to implement it in each of our lives. Let's kneel for prayer.